This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of topics around the Umpqua Valley. In studio, back from Salem, State Representative Virgil Osborne. Do you think by next week you're going to be meeting on Fridays up there?
Hi, Kyle. Thanks for having me. I don't think we're quite there yet. I know we just had floor session on, we had three floor sessions this week, the last one being Thursday, and we only had three bills. But there's a bunch of bills coming over from the Senate, so I would imagine within the next couple of weeks we'll go to 4 days for sure.
And one of the things that seems to have popped up there, and the timing is also interesting, you had a court ruling regarding a gun measure passed by Oregon voters a couple of years ago, I think it was. But at the same time, it sounds like there's a lot of gun-related legislation that your side of the aisle is probably not too happy with.
Yeah, there really is. There's four or five gun bills. None of them are good. I mean, they're all treading right on your Second Amendment rights. I think one of them, of course, is 3075, and I think that just kind of codifies 114. I think the Democrats were afraid they might lose the battle in court on 114, so they doubled down with doing this bill. So that bill may hopefully go away. I don't know. We'll have to find out. But there's other bills. There's a gun bill that takes away rights of 18 to 21-year-olds to own a gun. They tried this in 2023, and they're trying it again, and clearly unconstitutional, but clearly they're going to continue to push for it. And then there's also a bill that takes away your ability to have a concealed weapon in certain districts. And most people don't understand how bad that really is. That means you could literally walk into the water department, and while you're leaving the water department, even though you have a concealed weapons permit, you cross, say, the sanitary district's lot, and now you potentially could be a felon because you have your concealed weapon on a district that doesn't allow you to have a gun. It's just a blatant attack on your Second Amendment rights again.
And I understand there's one bill as well, HB 3076, relating to firearm dealers.
Yeah, that one just puts more restrictions on firearms dealers. I mean, they're going at it from all different directions, and ultimately the goal is to take away your guns, take away your gun rights. If they can't do it with your guns, they'll do it through the dealers. If they can't do it through the dealers, they'll take away your ammunition. And all I can tell you is, we have got to, as a state, if we do truly love our Second Amendment right, we have to stand up. We have to continue to fight. We have to testify. We have to show up. When we need you to come and testify, you need to show up. When we need a rally outside the Capitol building on the steps, we need people to show up. We also need people to vote. They need to go and vote every year, because elections have consequences, and this is where we're at in this state. We've had 30 years of Democrat rule, and we're going down the tube. Sorry.
So is Oregon seeing more of these gun-related measures than other states?
I don't really follow too much of the politics. I think most blue states are trying to outlaw guns. I mean, most blue states are trying to regulate just about everything they can. This state, I don't really picture Oregon as blue. I think Oregon is primarily red. It's just the population is blue. And so we're kind of stuck with whatever we get from regulations coming from the northern part of the state, which is where the urban part of it is. I really don't know much about the rest of the states. I haven't followed it.
And it seems like, though, first of all, let me back up. I don't know if you've heard anything since the court ruling about folks that would be against that court ruling, if they're going to plan to appeal to a higher level.
Yeah, I've heard that. And of course, we knew that this appeal was probably going to fail anyway. Again, the elections have consequences. The judges have been stacked by the Democrat governors for years. So hopefully, I would like to see it go straight to the Supreme Court, because I truly do believe it is unconstitutional, and I'd like to see it turned over.
What are some of the other big topics at Salem this week?
There's a lot. The biggest one of all right now is the Ag Labor Bill, which is 2548. And there's a push to, by the Democrats, there's a push to essentially unionized farm workers. And the big argument there is, you know, farms are restricted by what they can charge for their produce. They pay well. I mean, I'm not sure that most people, there is no farm workers union now. But if and when they do form that, and what they want to do is form a committee to decide labor rates and working conditions for working on farms, they're going to put an undue burden on farmers. We've lost 2,000 farms since 2019 in the state of Oregon. These are family farms. And what happens when we lose a family farm? One of two things happen. Either the property goes vacant and it's not being used for anything, so we're not producing fruits and vegetables or exportable goods. Or a corporation like Simplot or one of the other big farmers move in and take it over. When that happens, you've taken away a family farm for starters, but then it's basically what you're doing is turning it into a state-owned farming organization. So the state will be able to control the pricing at the store. The state will be able to control the labor force that works at those farms. They'll be able to tax however they want, and this is the direction the state's going. And frankly, that was tried in Russia. I think Stalin did that, and a lot of people starved.
What are you hearing from the folks on the other side as far as their reasons for wanting to do this?
It's always the same reason. They always go back and they say, well, the workers don't have any rights. In this state, the workers have a lot of rights. We have BOLI. We have other organizations that protect workers' rights. And these folks want to give them more rights. Essentially, this goes hand in hand with some other bills. There's also a bill, Senate Bill 916, which actually pays striking workers to go on strike. You will be able to collect your unemployment without even a week's waiting. You'll be able to collect your unemployment. Essentially, you'll and that'll come out of your taxpayer money. 916 will, because they're gonna force those fees back onto the employers. Essentially, we're just making it harder and harder for business. And every bill we seem to be doing these days goes toward that end. And it's great for unions, but it's horrible for small employees or small employers and small municipalities for that matter. Can you imagine if the teacher in Douglas County all went out on strike at the same time over whatever they want to go out on and got paid, they may not come back. They wouldn't have to come back.
Well, it's interesting to see how this is evolving. On the ag side, you mentioned a number of farms that have gone away. I mean, that's been an issue for a number of years now because it is so hard to be a small family farmer and make it already.
It is, and really it all comes back to what the state's doing. We regulate the way they use their land. We regulate the way they put fertilizer on their land. We regulate the way they use pesticides on their lands. We have regulated them into the point where it's barely profitable to be a farmer, and then your product that you're selling is regulated by whatever the market value may be. There may be some years where you make really good money, and there may be some years when you don't make any money at all. So when you add the added cost of government regulation on the shoulders of the farmers, you really make it hard to want to be a farmer in Oregon. And I'm not talking about just growing, you know, tomatoes. I'm talking about tree farms, too. I mean, I'm talking about whatever agricultural produce you come up with. We seem to want to regulate it to death.
What else do you see as big issues this week?
I tell you, this has been one of those environmental weeks for me. And I sit on the Climate and Energy and Environment Committee, so I'm pretty loud on that committee. I really struggle with some things. But we heard a bill that I frankly find crazy. And our state has some global warming goals to try to avoid global warming. We had a representative come forward with a bill, House Bill 3477, which changes the title global warming to climate change, which gives the state even more authority to go after their climate change goals even faster. And let me just give you a couple of those goals so you can understand. So by his bill, by 2030, the greenhouse gases in Oregon, by 2030, which is not that far away, have to be reduced by 45% below the levels of 1990. Okay. By 2040, it would be 70% below the levels of 1990, and by 2050, 95% below the levels of 1990. Essentially, what that means is every vehicle on the road today that's not electric is gone. You won't have a gas furnace in your house. You won't have, for that matter, a wood stove in your house. So, I mean, the restrictions that are coming with this were just I mean, crazy. So during committee hearing, while I'm hearing this, I'm asking some questions, and then they had a nice lady come on and testify that this was going to create 300,000 jobs in Oregon. And I said, well, ma'am, I said, can you explain to me how those 300,000 jobs are going to replace our timber workers that this is going to put out of business? And can you explain how this is going to help the wildfire smoke that's caused because we don't manage our forests? The direct answer to me was, we didn't figure in those jobs, that sector of jobs, into this equation. So at that point, I shut my book and looked the other way. I was done with it. So.
All right. We're going to take a break. More when we come back. State Representative Virgil Osborne, the interview, a podcast after what, at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1 on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Checking in with State Representative Virgil Osborne. Sounds like for you it was kind of a tough week in Salem.
Yeah, Kyle, this week was probably the toughest of the ones so far this year. We get to a point where, you know, the easy bills are kind of behind you, and you get onto the bills that are going to really hurt. And My job and my goal and the reason why I'm in Salem is to help protect the folks that are here in Southern Oregon. I look out for their best interest, and they tell me what they need. They tell me what they want. And when I see the state going blatantly in the wrong direction, I'm there to speak up. And sometimes it's hard. It's very hard.
Do you see any impact on what the state legislature is doing by what's happening at the national level right now?
I do. There's a lot of ties in within that. And unfortunately, what I'm seeing right now is I'm seeing a state, I wouldn't say a legislature, I would say our state leadership, particularly the governor on down, I'm seeing them doubling down on where we are as a state, which in my opinion, we're not doing well. As I know we're not. The numbers say we're not doing well. But rather than complying and moving forward with the Trump administration's new direction, we're doubling down against it. And ultimately, it may well cost us some federal funding in the state, which is really going to hurt. And, with the wildfire funding that we're going to have to come up with and funding our schools and some of our other things we need to do, we need to start acting like a state that really wants to see a good future and quit pretending that we're going to go off in this green energy direction and destroy our state.
Are you seeing much work on budgets, or is that coming later?
We did get a sneak preview of the, every biennium budgets, they correct them, one year out, they'll go back and correct, and we did see that. It didn't say much. We saw the revenue forecast. It said quite a bit, but they tried to make it sound good. But the fact is, the revenue forecast says that our manufacturing is in the tank, and it's continuing to go down. What I have seen hasn't been good. I wish I could tell you something different.
Now, talk about things with the committees you're on.
Well, some of what we just spoke about, relating to some of the committees that I am on. I can tell you one of the bills we just heard, this wasn't necessarily in my committee, but there is a movement here amongst Democrats to House Bill 2200, which turns our PERS system into a system that only invests in green companies, green energy companies that are supporting climate change legislation and direction, and actually takes money away from companies that you would invest in that might not have that as their primary goal. Like, for instance, an oil company that's actually profitable, that your PERS actually makes money on. So that's some of the craziness that is coming out of committees. We have had a lot in my Environment and Energy Committee. We've had a lot more bills that are focusing around, for instance, there's an Oregon Electric Transmission Authority that's being proposed, which creates an organization or a committee that will be able to put in power lines wherever they want them that fits in with their green energy goals of windmills and solar panels. The problem with that is right now they can't do that because they're crossing over so many private properties that they're not allowed, people are not complying, but this authority will give them eminent domain ability. So they'll be able to put those lines wherever they want them. These are the things that we are fighting every day.
And as you look around the Umpqua Valley, what are you hearing from from people in your district?
You know, I hear the same thing from most folks in my district. They want jobs. They want to be heard. Of course, this is Douglas County, so your Second Amendment rights is very important. I get a lot of emails and a lot of questions on Measure 114, where the lawsuit's at, you know, what we're doing moving forward. But principally, between housing and jobs, that's what most people talk about. I mean, we're short on housing here, and even though our governor says we continue to move toward more housing, we're not seeing it here. So that's kind of where that's the big push here.
And of course, City of Roseburg, the county, different groups have been working on that different ways. Seems like there are a lot of regulations that tend to slow the process down, or maybe the impacts are more obvious around here.
Well, their hands are tied, Kyle. I mean, the state controls ultimately, you know, the counties have their own planning goals and the cities have their own planning goals too, but their hands are tied. Their goals have to meet what the state mandates or the state goals are, state planning. And that's where we get in trouble. I mean, the state planning goals are inclusive of everything, but they don't specifically look at each situation. And, you know, again, the in Douglas County, you have a real problem with properties that are in the, you know, wetlands mitigation. It just causes all kinds of havoc when you're trying to develop.
And other big issues in Salem for you this week?
So we were hoping to have our wildfire mapping appeal back before. We were hoping to have it yesterday. My understanding from leadership is that we're going to get a sneak peek at it today. I said repeal. I shouldn't say appeal. But wildfire mapping is another huge issue for the whole state. But Douglas County, I mean, probably more than 60% of the residents here got letters from the state saying, hey, your property is now in a high wildfire or medium wildfire zone, which has caused all kinds of havoc. So the Republican House has created our own repeal bill, but we've also created a bill that does leave some things in and potentially takes out some of the bad stuff. So we're going to kind of wait and play that out and see where it goes. The Senate has a bill too. We'll see where that goes. There's actually two bills in the Senate. One of them is being created by the person that brought us the wildfire mapping. So there's a lot of politics happening over the next week, and that you'll hopefully see some solution by the end of next week on where that's going to go.
Do you see on some of these issues we've been talking about today, very many opportunities to pull maybe more moderate Democrats your direction when it comes to a vote?
Yes, I do believe so. And I will tell you that particularly with some of the green energy goals, you know, you talk about relationships across the aisle. Well, after that particular hearing, I had a discussion with the chair of the committee, and, you know, it was a good discussion. He said, I have to hear this stuff. That doesn't mean we need to do it. You have to keep those relationships going, because there is just some craziness that will happen. And thank God we do have Republicans standing in the way of that craziness. We can't always win, and we certainly don't always get to set the direction, but we can do things that make things not as crazy. And sometimes we do win. Sometimes, you know, people do actually look at rural Oregon and go, we need to pay more attention to that. So, you know, that's what we're there for.
What do you see in legislation so far where you've had more folks voting, not necessarily unanimously, but, you know, more more of a bipartisan level?
Yeah, we've had some great bills. There were some bills that funded some of the fairgrounds programs we had and some of the arts and culture programs that took money from, you know, a lot of it was coming from lottery funds, and offered grants for things like Shakespeare Festival, the High Desert Museum in Bend. There was a list of things, you know, and the grant was for, I was around 12, 13, 14, 15 million, something like that. So it was a fair amount of money. And those are good things. And we can all agree that culture is important, and we need to do that type of thing. There's also been some good bills coming out from ODF&W. There was an invasive species bill that we heard this week as well. You know, who knew we had a problem with, I can't even remember the name of it, but it's a mussel that is in the rivers in California, but it's starting to show up in Oregon. And potentially this could cause the salmon population problems, because evidently they eat the same thing out of the water that the small salmon eat. So, you know, there's money that's being put into that fund to help combat that. So those are good discussions, because at the same time, while we're having that discussion, we also talked about the invasive species of smallmouth bass, which is killing our salmon population in the main Umpqua River. And I got to ask those questions to ODF&W while there. This was good.
And I know you were up in Salem, but I'm sure you heard a lot about the ODFW meeting regarding Rock Creek the other night.
Yeah, we actually had a meeting before that meeting. We were in Salem, so we had a Zoom meeting with ODFNW and the tribes and a few other folks, county commissioners, particularly Tom Kress. Our county commissioner Kress has been very involved in this, and David Brocksmith, myself. So we knew what the direction of the meeting was going to be, even though we were not able to make it because we were in session. And I was pretty confident that most people would be pretty happy after that meeting was over.
And do you see a good path forward in this situation, even though it's going to obviously take a while?
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be successful. You know, it will be. The tribe is stepping in. ODFNW understands we need to do this. I don't see a downfall in it. I just see time. It's going to take time to make it come to fruition. And, you know, generations of fish don't happen overnight. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a good thing.
So what are the big things you expect next week?
Well, we're hearing gun bills next week. I believe five of them are up, so that'll be the crisis for next week. So we'll see where that goes. I haven't really looked into much as what's happening in my committees, other than I know we have some more environmental stuff. Some of it pretty benign, but we'll just have to wait and see.
All right, State Representative Virgil Osborne, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.